Our scripture passage comes from Matthew chapter 21. Listen for God's holy word. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says to you anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughters of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heavens!" People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. This year, this week, today, how can we relate to the story of Palm Sunday? How can we relate to the story of a happy crowd singing and swaying in the Mediterranean sun, waving palm branches with hearts and voices that are full of hope and joy? When I read this traditional Palm Sunday passage, it is difficult for me, almost impossible, to find a point of connection, a point of reference, a point of relationship to this scene and the story contained within, and our experience here in the midst of the troubles and the sorrows of a spreading pandemic. The story in Scripture is awash with joy and with gladness. It is a story that seems saturated with hopeful expectations. How can we relate to a story such as this? How can we, in the fear and the sorrow and the disappointment and the anger and the trouble and the frustration of our situations, how can we read this story of a crowd waving palm branches and cheering in joy? How can we read this story and find anything in it but unfamiliar noise? How can we read a story so full of people who are in such a different mindset, such a different mood, a different moment in their experience, and find anything in this story but a sense of isolation? We cry out, "Dearest God, how can you speak to us through a story of a gathered crowd when we are socially distanced and self-quarantined? Dearest God, how can you speak to us through a story of people shouting and singing with joy and hopeful words when we are not hopeful but fearful? Fearful of what tomorrow will bring." This past week, for many, for me, this pandemic began to hit close to home. This past week, I lost someone who I knew. This past week, someone who played a role in my life, in my preparation for ministry, fell ill and at the relatively young age of 72 died from the coronavirus. He died in the isolation of an intensive care unit. His wife and his children were not able to be by his side. Their closest contact was a phone placed on the pillow of his hospital bed. This past week, as I have lived my solitary and narrow life, this past week, as I have walked through the persistent cold of rain and of the dreary spring, this past week, as the news came of the sick, of the dying, of the dead, this past week, my heart broke for the loss that we have already known, and my mind kept imagining the worst of what is still to come. Through all of it, this past week, my job was to read about a crowd waving palm branches in the Mediterranean sun with eyes that were wide open to a hopeful future and with hearts that were aflutter with glad expectation and with mouths that were full of cheerful praises. This past week, I read our passage and I prayed, How, O God, can I read this story? How, O God, can I preach this story? How, O God, can you speak to us? How can you, O God, relate to us through a story so unlike the reality and the experience we are living in? There have been weeks when I have prayed prayers like these and they have gone unanswered. But this week, God, in grace and in love, responded. As I struggled to relate to this traditional Palm Sunday story, God gave me an assurance. It is true, God assured me. It is true that you and your family and your congregation and your world, it is true that you cannot relate to the crowd of Palm Sunday. It is true, God assured me, that you cannot relate to their song, nor their hope, nor their joy. God assured me that there was little for me, for us in the crowd. But God then directed my attention to the man at the center of the story. God directed me to seek a connection not to the crowd, but instead to God's Son. You cannot relate to the crowd, God assured me. But you can relate to my Son, and I, your God, can relate to you through him and his experience of sorrow and trouble and pain and loss and suffering unto death. People of God, so often on Palm Sunday, our focus falls upon the crowd, on the donkey, on the shouts of Hosanna, on the waving palm branches. But this year, God invites us to consider the heart and the thoughts, not of the crowd, but of God's own Son as he rode through that joyful crowd. This past week, as I read this passage, God impressed upon my heart that as Jesus rode towards the city of Jerusalem, his experience was much like what we experience and live through today. Riding on that donkey towards that great city, Jesus was alone. He was alone in his knowledge of what was to come. He was alone in his understanding of his role and his calling and his future. His disciples, his closest friends, they did not yet understand his mission. They did not yet understand what Jesus meant when he said that he must suffer and die. Peter and the disciples rejected these words from Jesus, and soon they would desert him and abandon him. Jesus, on the road to Jerusalem, was isolated. He was alone. The crowds expected him to be an earthly king, and yet they would reject him when he did not meet their earthly expectations for an earthly king. Today they shouted, Hosanna! But Jesus must have known that soon the same crowd of Jerusalem would shout, Crucify him! Crucify him! On that road to Jerusalem, Jesus was isolated. He was alone. The religious officials, the teachers of the law, they had rejected him. The political leaders of the city saw him as a threat. As he rode into the capital of God's people, even surrounded by the crowd as he was, Jesus was alone. The crowd around him had hope in their hearts, but Jesus' heart must have been full of fear, and in the pit of his stomach, there must have been that same heavy weight of dread for what is still to come that we know and that we experience. The crowd around him imagined that he would be their king, that he would be raised up to sit elevated on an earthly throne. But Jesus must have known that when he was raised up, it would not be to sit on a throne, but to hang on a cross. Crowd imagined that he would be crowned with gold, but Jesus must have known that he would be crowned with thorns and with sorrows. As the donkey put one foot in front of the other, Jesus moved closer and closer to a destiny which no one would have welcomed, a future which was not easy to accept, a calling that was full of trouble and sorrow and fear and disappointment and pain. People of God, today is not a day to feel connected to the joyful crowds of Palm Sunday, but today is a day that God reminds us that our Savior has joined us in our sorrows, in our fears, and in our pain. Our God is not a God who is far off nor distant from our experiences here in this broken world. Our God is a God who, through Jesus Christ, has known our every trial, our every weakness, our every fear. Our God has known dread. Our God has known the pain of isolation, and our God has known the aching of loneliness. Jesus has known our experiences. In them, he has joined us. Through the power of God's Holy Spirit, Jesus is with us always, and so we know that we are never alone. May this Savior reside close to us, as we step and put one foot in front of another towards a future which is uncertain in every way, but for the love and the grace of God. Amen.